from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And the effervescent, very cheery Dan Zangrilli is joining us, brought to you by Super Lawyers of LGKG. LGKG, your home team. Injured in an accident? Visit LGKG.com. Dan, you had the post game off yesterday. If you were at the wheel, what would have been your takeaway? Would it have been managerial malfeasance down on Federal Street, or would have gone with something different yesterday?
I don't know. I think everybody, for the most part, was in the right place from a relief pitching perspective. But I see a guy that's going tonight, Mitch Keller, that would have looked really good on the mound yesterday. Obviously, the Arizona and San Diego series were of utmost importance, more so to an extent than the Dodger series, because obviously, you know, the wild card situation, and to go 2-4 in that 6-game homestand is just, or I'm sorry, what was it?
One and five, and it should have been 5-1.
Yes. I would have started Keller yesterday because he was rained out 4 innings, 60 pitches. I think
who makes that decision, Dan? Is that only Derek Shelton's call to make it not Mitch Keller, or is somebody above him?
Yeah, who do we get the pitchforks and torches out for here?
We need to be directed with our ire.
So it falls at the feet of the manager ultimately, but there's a lot of input from a lot of people, starting with Oscar Marin and the air quotations here, the pitching group. So there's a lot of folks that have input on that, I would imagine, and they collectively come to the decision. But like anything else, when you're calling a play in football, the head coach has veto power. I would think that the manager has veto power, and he can scratch that. Maybe the pitcher or the player has something to say about it himself. But if I'm going to venture a guess, Mitch Keller probably would have wanted the ball yesterday. He'll take the ball anytime, right? That's just how
he likes regular rest, from what I heard.
Yeah, and I see no reason as to why they couldn't have brought him back yesterday, threw him yesterday. I think yesterday's game was maybe a little more important than tonight's game for the obvious reasons. And that's what I would have done differently, to answer your question.
Do you think that David Bednar should and will be stripped of his closer duties for the time being?
I'm not necessarily going there. And this has not been a good year compared to the lofty standards that Bednar has set. Before game two against the Padres, and even though he was protecting a lot of 3-run leads, he did rack up 19 consecutive save opportunities. He's obviously been more prone to giving up the long ball this year, and has done so over the course of those 19 consecutive saves before the other night. So I'm not going there just yet, because, you know, he did have some struggles in the early going. He did come through. I think that that's a pretty big voice in that clubhouse, pretty big veteran presence. And am I going to make a – I guess I'm still in that spot where, Chris, I would consider it a knee-jerk reaction, just back-to-back, essentially less than 24 hours of a rough patch. Now, I'm thinking a lot harder about it if something crazy happens tonight or tomorrow. Absolutely.
Dan O'Neill Cruz decided to not hustle, and he got thrown out at second base. Shelton, for whatever reason, did not get asked a question about that last night, but or yesterday. We had last week physical error, trying to do too much. Yesterday we had not trying hard enough in creating an out on the base paths. What should have been the Pirates' response to that move?
So, and not trying to cop out here on that, I know he's been under the weather big time. Now, that if you can't play, you can't play. That's something that you at least the optics are so bad on that you've got to take yourself out of the lineup if you can't give 100%, especially in a critical situation like that. I don't know what's going on with O'Neill Cruz. The more this goes on, the more you start to wonder, like, hey, what is the issue?
What's your theory?
I really don't. I just think he's a mercurial player, and he's somewhat delicate from that standpoint.
Is he someone who would benefit from maybe a different strategy, even publicly, by the manager as far as how he handled him?
You're talking like a tough love strategy.
Well, just
Chris?
Like if there was a guy, maybe that
I don't know. Talk more like he did about Colin Holderman.
Right. Talk
than
like
he did
about Holderman,
guy.
Or in general, just somebody with more managerial experience, and maybe I don't want to sound like mean to Shelton, but I also kind of am going to be mean to Shelton. Somebody with just more of a history who has won more. Like I remember Dan Clint Hurdle benching Andrew McCutchen for not running out like a pop up or whatever when McCutchen was a very much established player already. And it didn't really affect that relationship or the team. And I thought it won Clint Hurdle a lot of praise from people. And I just have seen very little of that from Derek Shelton where Cruz is concerned.
So this is where it absolutely becomes far more art than science. And many a good manager, and whether or not we consider Shelton that, I guess, is, you know, another conversation.
Well, but I can answer that right now. I don't at the moment.
So do you push somebody or do you coddle somebody? I mean, knowing the difference in the personality dynamic of who you can do that with, that is the definition and probably the most important part of managing. Is Holderman somebody that can, for lack of a better term, take that or respond positively to it? Will he kind of puff up his chest and square up his shoulders and proceed to go on the injury list with a wrist injury? But you know what I mean? Like, does that further bury Cruz?
Let me ask you this. If what they have been doing thus far with O'Neill Cruz, by and large, is coddling, because I don't think I've heard, like, a true tough love situation about him, are they getting enough out of that strategy to make it a viable one moving forward? I would argue no, because some of the same stuff that's been driving people nuts, whether it's errors, whether it's the occasional trot out of the box, is still happening. And I say that as a guy that thinks this guy could be the anchor of a good team or a very good lineup because he's so talented, but I don't think they're getting a lot of ROI on their current approach with him.
So does that mean that you go completely 180 degrees to the opposite
direction? You don't have to go taskmaster.
Let's go 45 or 90.
How about, like, O'Neill, that's not good enough. Like, if you're trying to stretch it, like, and Dan, you know me, we've talked off the air. I'm not a guy who, if he hits a one-hop smash that gets fielded right at the first base bag, I expect him to sprint through the base like a fake hustle guy. But if you're already thinking, I'm going to try to stretch this into a double, then yes, I think it's reasonable to ask that you be digging right out of the box.
Yeah, and, you know, it's whether or not you know what is not going to work. So why venture into space that you know that's not going to work? Just to say that you tried it, I don't know. I would venture a guess, and again, I don't know all the buttons that you can push with a guy like O'Neill Cruz, but based on their past history, and again, it's a valid argument as to whether or not what they're doing is working, by going to the opposite direction or publicly calling him out, I'm going to guess that that's going to throw him into a shell and throw him into a tizzy, because he himself has publicly come out and mentioned that he's not in a good headspace at times. So I think it's fairly logical, and you could apply common sense to, if you did something to O'Neill Cruz like you did with Colin Holderman, that's probably not going to have the desired result. And to just say, I'm going to try it anyway, I'm not necessarily sure that's the path. It's tough to manage a player in this day and age and in this generation. And there's a lot of head coaches and a lot of managers that have gotten out of it because of that reason, because of reasons just like this. They have more jack players do than they ever have, and some tactics that may have worked in the past 5, 10, 15 years ago just don't seem to resonate. So, again, far more art than science and a lot of unknowns as to how you can get through to guys in this day and age. It's harder than ever, and I would say that, you know, this is a pretty good real-life walking example of that.
Dan, we'll have the leadoff show. It's a late one tonight. It's after the football game, so flip over for it. 10-10 first pitch. Mitch Keller against Jake Flaherty of the Dodgers. All right, Dan, thank you.
Guys, appreciate it.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, fantasy football owners, anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.